Hey, well, let's open God's Word this morning. I want to invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. We'll be there in just a moment. Happy Father's Day to all of you dads. Yeah, we're proud of you. We're proud of you. We really are. You know, last week we honored this year's high school graduates, and I was just reminded again of how many great young people we have here at Bethel Church. And just we're so blessed. I look around and I go, wow, just great, great young people here in our church. And then I just think, it didn't get that way by accident, right? Didn't get that way by accident. We've got a lot of great young people because we have got a lot of great parents, a lot of great moms and dads. And I'm sure You like me, you feel so inadequate to the task, and you're so dependent upon God, right, as parents. I remember when we first found out that you know Janice was expecting our first child, my heart was so full of joy, right? I was just so excited about becoming a dad. And then after I kind of processed that joy a little bit, I was filled with absolute terror. Because I was thinking about, wow, okay, this is going to be all fun and games here. And you start thinking about, man, here's a child I'm responsible for providing for raising up. Here's a child I need to give some direction to in their life. I need to be a good example. And boy, it can be overwhelming to be a dad, but at the same time, we understand as Christ followers that God's going to help us, right? He's going to help us, and we're never going to be perfect, but if we will keep our hearts set on Jesus, he's going to give us what it takes. And so as I prepared this message for this morning, I just kind of prepared it this way. I was thinking about, okay, if I had just a group of young dads from Bethel Church in a group, and we were just sitting down and having a cup of coffee together, what would I share with them from my heart about being a dad? And so that's kind of the tone of the message today. Before I get into it, I want to show you our children, just an update for some of you, and some of you have never met our kids, but we do have kids. We have 3 children, and we have 6 grandchildren. And so this is our son Stephen and his wife Carissa. And Stephen is the associate pastor at Parkway Church in Grants Pass. So they're our one family that's closest to us, and their 3 children are Elizabeth, who is turning 6 here in just a couple of weeks, and Elias is 3 and a half, and then that's Ezra, and Ezra turns 1 here in about a week. And then our daughter, Stephanie, and her husband, Alex, live up in Seattle. Alex is a children's pastor at Canyon Hills Church up in the Seattle area. And their kids are Xander, who is 3, and Amos, who's just over 1. And no, it's not 1 yet. He's not 1 yet. His birthday is in November, yes. Okay, and then this is our daughter Jennifer and her husband Dan, and Jennifer just gave birth to their first child, a little girl named Riley, and Riley is 5 weeks old. She's doing great. She's just a great joy. So those are our children, and certainly I can look back and think of a lot of mistakes that we made as parents, but we did it all. Just trying to do our best and serving the Lord. And our kids, thank the Lord, are all serving the Lord. And that's the most important thing for us. They're all serving the Lord. They're all very active in their churches. And so we're very, very thankful to the Lord for that. Let's look at this passage in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, where it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and you may enjoy a long life on the earth." And we're going to focus in on this 4th verse. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, before I get into this, I want to say this. I think it's important for us to understand this. As a nation, overall, we have failed miserably at doing this. As a nation, we have failed our children. And we look at all of the problems that plague our nation today. And really, as much as it disturbs us, it doesn't surprise us when we really think about how we have failed our young people. We've failed our kids for the last couple of generations. But the good news is, as Christ followers and as a church, even if the rest of the world fails with the next generation, we don't need to fail. Amen? We don't need to fail. We don't need to fail our kids, because God wants to bless you. He wants to bless your home. He wants to bless you as a parent. And God is on your side. And no matter what happens in the world around us, we remember that Jesus is our true north, right? And we keep doing what Jesus has called us to do and living life, not according to the standards of this world, but by the standards of the Word of God. And as we do that, God is going to bless us and God is going to be with us. Now, there's no guarantees, right? Our children all have to decide for themselves whether they're going to follow Jesus or not. But we can position them and give them every opportunity to know the Lord. Right? And so that's our job as parents. In fact, that's our most important job. Now, I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture, the command that's given to us, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up. Everybody say, bring them up. Bring them up. That's proactive. It's proactive. It means we're not just sitting idly by as parents hoping everything turns out. Right? That we actually have a role in this, in fact, a responsibility to bring up our children, to not say, well, it's someone else's job, it's the school's job, it's the church's job. No, it's our job as moms and dads, right? And as grandparents. And so we're to be proactive. We're to be involved in our kids' lives. And the reality is, kids just flourish. They do so much better when they're in an environment where there's structure and order. Okay? Remember this, we are created in the image of God, right? And God is a God of order. Everything that God does, he does in an orderly way. That's not to say that God never surprises us, because there's so much about God we don't know. But God is not capricious. God does things in an orderly way. If you go back even to creation, you know, each day of the creation, there was order in creation. The Bible says God is not a God of disorder, but a God of order and a God of peace. And so where there is order, guys, where there is order, where there is structure, our children can actually thrive in that. They can grow in that. It's protective. It brings peace. It brings a sense of stability to their lives. So our homes need to be places of order. And where there is chaos and disorder, that's where kids grow up with all kinds of confusion and stress, right? And so God is the one that created the family, and he created the family to bring order and structure for children as they're being raised up. So it's so important for us to understand that. Now, what kind of training or what kind of bringing up are we supposed to bring our children? It says specifically there, instead bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Two specific words that Paul uses there, training and instruction. They actually mean two different things. Training means that we're teaching our kids how life works according to God. We're giving them practical help in living life, okay? So how does family work? How do we treat one another? How do we, practical things, how do we, what's God's perspective on our possessions, on money? We learn about generosity and kindness. We teach our kids how life is supposed to work, not from the world's point of view, but from God's point of view. So everyday instruction about life. This is what it means to be responsible. This is what it means to work hard. This is what it means to have fun. This is what it means to live the Christian life each and every day of our lives, 24/7. That the Christian faith is not something we just practice on Sunday morning, right? But that the Christian faith actually it infiltrates everything that we do. Every part of our life is affected by Jesus. Okay, so that's the training that we breed, and then instruction is teaching the Bible. It's teaching the scriptures to our kids, teaching the Word of God. And what I want you to notice here is Paul is giving this command to the Father. To the Father. Too many times, guys, we let our wives do all that, right? And nothing wrong with the mothers teaching the Bible, but the command is given to the Father. The responsibility is on us. Don't think, guys, don't think, well, it's the Sunday school teacher's job to teach my kids the Bible. It's the pastor's job, or it's my wife's job. She's the one that tells the Bible stories. Because if your kids grow up thinking that following Jesus is a mom thing or a pastor thing or a church thing, when they get old enough where they're starting to make their own decisions and they don't see that it really meant something to dad, then they're not going to value it. Does that make sense? Fathers, you be proactive. Bring instruction. Bring training to your children. Now, I want to give you just five things. Oh, by the way, I failed to mention this. The first part of that verse, by the way, is so important. Do not exasperate your children. Do not exasperate your children. And you can think of a lot of ways that we could exasperate our children. Now, that's not to say that your children are never going to get upset at you. They're going to like all your decisions. But a child who's exasperated. So there's got to be balance. So every household needs to have rules, right, in order to function and to provide safety and security. There needs to be rules, all right? But if the household is too strict, it can be oppressive. We can just choke all the fun out of our kids, right? When we're too heavy-handed, when we rule with an iron fist, kids need to be able to enjoy and have fun. Your house should not be a prison, right? It should be a place where kids want to be, where they love to be. And so there's that balance. There's the balance, even with our faith, there's that balance between knowing Jesus and loving Jesus and talking to our kids about Jesus. On the other hand, we don't want to shove Jesus down their throat, right? Because when we do it that way, it just feels so not genuine. It feels like just something we're forcing on you, and kids tend to rebel against that. And that's one of the things that Janice and I really tried to practice, knowing that we were going to raise preacher's kids. You know, not all preacher's kids turn out okay. And one of the things that we were so determined early on, we had so many conversations about this. We said, we will not live life one way at church and then a different way at home. Because we want our kids to see that what we preach at church and what we practice at church is real in our lives. We knew that our kids had to know that. And I'm not saying that every preacher's kid that ever rebelled, it's because dad was not a genuine Christian. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying we understood the importance of that and tried to practice it in our lives. Okay, so let me give you five things. These are the five things I came up with when I just asked myself, Tim, if you were sitting down with some young dads from our church and having a cup of coffee and just sharing a few thoughts, looking back on your own life as a parent and a grandparent, what would you want to say? Okay, and so here's the five things. The first one, and this actually is the most important one for me, continually ask God to change you. Continually ask God to work in your own life, right? One of the great fears that I had as a young father, I'm just thinking, man, how are you supposed to raise these kids? How are you supposed to teach them when you're still working on yourself? There's so many things I knew needed to change in my own life, my own heart, let alone being able to raise anybody else or teach anybody else. And God will help you with that if you'll just admit that to God. God, I need your help. God, I fail in so many ways. I really need you to work in my life. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7 says this, "The righteous lead blameless lives. Blessed are their children after them." In other words, we lead by example. We lead by example. Our kids are always, always watching us. One of my early lessons in this was when our son Stephen was 5, maybe 6 years old, and we were pastoring in Lincoln City, over on the Oregon coast, and we had, our family just had one car, and so we had to really, you know, juggle that car back and forth. Those of you who know me know that I do not like to be late anywhere. Just this thing about me, I don't like to be late. And Janice had the car, she was out doing some things. I had a meeting that evening, and it was it was getting closer and closer to meeting time. And like just a couple of minutes before I'm supposed to be at the meeting, Janice calls to let me know that she's running a little late. All right. So I am so frustrated at this point. And I say goodbye to Janice. And I had a little plastic hairbrush in my hand because I needed a hairbrush back then. And so I had this hairbrush in my hand. And I was just out of frustration. I kind of flipped the hairbrush, and man, I threw it a lot harder than I realized that I had. It hit the wall and just shattered into a million pieces. I mean, it just exploded. And here's Stephen, 5 or 6 years old. He's seeing this whole thing happen. He sees me throw the hairbrush. He's looking at me, and he says, "Dad, you're a pastor." Oh, yeah. Big time lesson, right? So I just set him down and said, "You know, son," I said, "you're right. Not only am I pastor, more importantly, I'm a Christian and I'm your dad, and that's no way for me to behave." And so I asked my son's forgiveness, and I actually think, you know, even though it would have been better if it wouldn't have happened at all, it was certainly helpful to him to see his dad admit that he'd made a mistake, right? And that I would own up, I'd own up to what I had done, and that I would apologize for it. And so, moms, dads, this is for both of you. You don't have to be perfect. Nobody is. You don't have to be perfect. But keep asking God to work in your life, right? Keep asking God to help you, because we lead by example. Number two, encourage your children to become what God has created them to be. Encourage your children to become what God has created them to be. Now remember this, you're their parents, but God is their God. As parents, we are stewards. Our children don't belong to us, they belong to the Lord, right? And God has a purpose, a plan, and a destiny for their life, and it might look totally different from what you were thinking. And you need to let your children become what God has created them to be. Amen? So yeah, structure, direction, for sure, but don't choke out the individuality in their life. Don't choke out what God has created them to be. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, we are God's handiwork. Now, I want you to apply this to your children. Your children are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for them to do. So God has a purpose, a plan, and a destiny for their life. Okay, here's what I mean. I'll just use a classic example that I've seen over the years. A lot of dads want their sons to be athletic. I mean, just you like sports, you did sports, you like watching sports, you want your son to love sports, and your daughter, you want your kids to love sports, you want them to be good at sports, and so you put them on this team and that team, and they're playing soccer, but then you realize they don't really like soccer. They're not really made for it. It's not in their heart. And it is such a big mistake to try to push your child into something that God never created them to be. I mean, they could be musical or artistic, or that maybe they're a great writer, or they have great imagination to create, and then you're trying to make them into something that they're not. And it does so much emotional damage to a child if they feel in some way that their dad is disappointed in them, that they're not measuring up. Man, I'm not the guy that my dad wants me to be. It does so much harm. So I want to encourage you. Understand that God created your kid, and He created your kids to be something, to be somebody, to be good at some things and not good at other things. And that's okay. Celebrate what God has created your kids to be, and don't try to make them be something God never intended them to be. Does that make sense? Yeah, encourage them in that, wherever that might go. And it might be, again, totally different from what you had planned. So number three follows on the heels of number two. Number three is this: verbalize your love and approval. Verbalize your love and approval. Tell your kids over and over again how much you love them, how much you approve of them, how proud you are. Your kids need to hear that. They need that affirmation. I've never known a person yet that has told me that their dad over-affirmed them. Now, I haven't yet, but I have never met a person who has said to me, man, my dad just encouraged me too much. And now I really regret that. No. But I've had a lot of people say, man, I wish my dad would have just told me he was proud of me. I've heard that many, many times. So speak affirmation into your children's lives. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Brings healing. One of the things that I, as a dad, wanted to really practice with my daughters is I wanted my daughters to know how beautiful their dad thought they were. So I told them just time and time again, you look so pretty. You're so beautiful. I love the way you're wearing your hair today. I love that dress on you. You're so beautiful. You're so pretty. I said that over and over again. So much so, when Stephanie was about 5 years old, one time I said, Stephanie, you're so beautiful. And she just said, I know. But that's okay. You know why? You know why that was important to me? I didn't want the first time they heard they were beautiful from a man to be some 16-year-old creeper. Right? This is what happens with young ladies. They don't feel good about themselves. They haven't been affirmed. And then some guy comes along and says, oh, baby, you're the most beautiful girl in the world. And then they just fall head over heels in love, and blah, it's bad from there on, right? I wanted my girls, when that 16-year-old came along and said, you're so beautiful, I wanted them to say, I know that. My dad's told me that all my life. All right? Tell me something I don't know. Verbalize love and approval. Our words have so much power. Our words have so much power. And y'all know this. We all know this because we've experienced it personally. 100 good things that you say can be undone by one bad thing. Right? They really can. So ask the Holy Spirit to help you with your words. Number four, prioritize your marriage. Prioritize your marriage. Guys, one of the greatest gifts you can give your kids is loving their mom. For them to see how much you love their mother. Huge, huge, huge. Prioritize your marriage. As a pastor, I've seen far too often the family become all about the kids, and the couples get lost in the mix. They lose touch with each other. They only relate to each other, not as husband and wife anymore. They relate to each other as co-parents. And it's so important that you prioritize your marriage, because guess what? One of these days your kids are going to move out of the house, right? At least hopefully they're going to move out of the house. They're going to move out. They're going to move out, and you're going to be left there with your spouse, and you don't want to be strangers at that point, having to get reacquainted. Prioritize your marriage. And then number five, last one is this: ask God for courage to lead. Ask God for courage to lead. It takes an incredible amount of courage to be a good dad. It takes an incredible amount of courage, right? Just because you father a child doesn't make you a father. Being a father takes courage. It means you're going to have to say no when everybody else is saying yes. It means you're going to have to be courageous. It means you're going to have to go against the flow of the world. You're going to have to take a stand when everybody else's parents are giving in. And your child is wondering, well, why don't we get to do this? All my friends get to do this. You're going to have to be the courageous one for the sake of your kids. It takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage to be a dad. But God will help you with that. He'll give you courage. As I was thinking about courage, I was thinking about one of the most courageous people in the Bible, a guy by the name of Joshua. Joshua, remember, had a big task. After Moses died, Joshua became the leader of the whole nation of Israel, and it was going to be his job to lead the people into the promised land. And when they got to the promised land, there was going to be some wars. There was going to be battles to be fought. And so there's that facing Joshua. There's the fact that these people had several times in their past rebelled against Moses, right? It's like, oh, now I'm taking over. So there's all this stuff. He was going to need a lot of courage, but God gave him courage. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5 says this, and I want you to just think about this in terms of being a leader now, a father, a mother, just all of us in some capacity were leaders. So Joshua chapter 1, you might not lead an entire nation, but you're going to lead something. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. This is the Lord speaking to Joshua. No one's going to be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. So I want you to notice, let's just leave this up there. I want you to notice, I'll do these quickly, four things that God promised to Joshua and two things God required of Joshua. Okay, four great promises that God gave Joshua. I will give you victory. I will be with you. I will keep my promises to these people. And I will give you success. Four great promises. And guys, I believe these promises apply to you. As you're just doing your best and serve the Lord, God's going to be with you. He's going to give you success. He's going to keep his promises to you. He's going to give you victory. He's going to help you. And then the requirements now, the requirement side of things here. Here's what Joshua was required to do. First requirement, Joshua, you got to be strong and courageous. You got to be strong and courageous. You got to have courage. And secondly, you got to obey me. But Joshua, if you will be strong and courageous, and if you'll obey me, then I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. I will never leave you or forsake you. So dads, that's my prayer for you today, is that as you're doing this dad thing and doing your best and making mistakes along the way, God is still going to be with you. And I'm praying that God gives you courage to stand. I'm praying that God gives you courage to lead. I'm praying that God will make his presence so real to you. Those decisions that you need to make, you're not sure what to do. God is going to lead you. He's going to give you a word. He's going to help you. You know, the thing about kids is you start raising one of them, and the next one comes along, and they're totally different from the first one, right? And you're like, man, I got to go to school all over again here. We need God to show us things about our children. God, you show me my child's heart. Help me to know how to be a good father to my child. But it's our job to be strong and courageous and to follow the Lord. And as we do that, God promises to help us. And so I just want to pray over dads right now. I want to pray that God will lead you and guide you and bless you. And so let me just do that right now. If I could have all of the, I want to pray for grandfathers too. Fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers. You guys all stand. All right. Thank you, Lord. And let's just give these guys a hand this morning. Yeah, we're proud of you. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Father, right now, God, as these guys pastor, it's just my privilege to be able to pray for them right now, God. And if they're anything like me, it is way easy for me to think about the ways that I failed, what I should have done better. But Lord, I thank you, God, that in spite of our human frailty, God, you're with us. You're on our side. And so I want to lift up every father to you this morning and pray, God, that you will bless them, that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit, that you will help them to be strong and courageous. You will help them to follow you, God. I pray that you will give them wisdom. God, the big decisions they need to make, I pray that you will lead them and guide them. God, the daily grind of just going to work and being a good dad, being a good husband, I pray that you will help them day to day, that you will give them strength for each day, God. Lord, I pray that you will give them courage to swim against the tide, God. The tide of this world, God, the direction of this world. I pray that you will give them courage to go against the momentum of this world, God, and to stand strong for Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you will help them each and every day, God, as they're working on their own life, their own character, their own temperament. Lord, that you will help them with that, God. I pray that you will help them with their words, God. We talked about the power of words, God. I pray that you'll help them to speak words of love and encouragement, God. And even when they bring correction, it's going to be correction that's brought out of love, God, and concern. So be with each one of these dads, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah. God bless you guys.